Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
And I want to share it with you tonight. Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24? And we're going to start in verse 3. And then I'll let you sit down. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, I'm reading in the New International Version. And it says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Would you pray with me? Close your eyes. Father, we thank you for your word. Is it alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword? And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. You would bring revelation to us tonight, correction. Lord, that you would come, oh God. Through your word tonight, we yield to you, Holy Spirit. You're already in our midst. You're already here. And tonight, Lord, I surrender my heart and my mouth to you. And I pray, oh Lord, that I would only speak what you have me to speak and that you would move in power. You would move in power. Hey, would you put your Bible down? Just reach your hands up right now. The presence of God is in this place. The presence of God is here, Lord. We thank you. I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to remember, when was the last time that you felt the love of God wash over you? Do you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember the day that he redeemed you? Do you remember what you felt? The love that came and overwhelmed you, the love that came and convicted you, the love that came and saved you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, oh God, it's because of your great love that you sent your son. And tonight I pray through your word, open our eyes to your love tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited to be here tonight, and I want to thank Pastor Daniel for the great privilege to stand behind his pulpit and to share this. Pastor, thank you for the honor. And I want to say hi to my husband. I love you. He preached at King's Branson tonight. He went there to visit his uncle, Pastor Chris Davis, and his cousin, Pastor Dylan Davis, and got to bring the word, but he'll be home. He's been taking care of my father-in-law, who had knee replacement surgery. How many of you know it's good to take care of your parents? It's honorable. It's right. And so my husband has been there for the last few weeks, and I can't wait for him to come home. I want to share just a quick story with you. I want to share, and we're talking tonight about love. And just yesterday, I came home to a surprise. How many of you like surprises? How many of you like good surprises? Okay, let me clarify that. Without me asking, I came home, and my two youngest children, Eliana and Ikella, sitting right over there, had cleaned the whole kitchen. I got teary-eyed over a clean kitchen. I felt so loved. I did. Normally, okay, I'm going to just let you know my love language, okay, is quality time. But that service done for me on my behalf, it ministered to me. I felt so honored. I felt so loved. How many of you have ever heard of the five love languages? Raise your hand. Gary Chapman, if you've never read that book, he has one, The Five Love Languages of Children. He has The Five Love Languages of Teenagers. I would encourage you to get it. It is a wonderful book. And then he has just the regular five love languages. It will open up your eyes about your spouse, about your siblings, about your parents, about your friends, and be able to love them well. Figure out how they receive love the best and do that for them. How many of you guys, let me just go through them really quickly. One of them is acts of service. How many of you feel loved when someone does something for you? Okay. All right. The other one is quality time. How many of you feel loved when people spend time with you? Wonderful. The third one is affection. Who loves affection? Hugs, all of that. Yes. Another one is gifts. Who feels loved when people buy you things? Not junk, okay, but they buy you like nice stuff. Okay, and what's that fifth one? Anybody can help me out? What is it? Words of affirmation. Who's like that? Who you really like a good a letter or a note or even just words spoken over you? I love how different God made each one of us. I love how love can be expressed through different ways. I want to share one more story. I was thinking tonight of a time in my life with the Lord. I've been saved. I grew up in the church. I rebelled when my parents divorced. I did everything I could to rebel against the Lord, and he caught me. He pursued me. He delivered me. Amen? And through my life, he has proven himself time and time and time again. And I remember when I was pregnant with my last child, and I have five amazing kids sitting right over here, I love each and every one. They are my precious treasures. They are gifts from the Lord. And five C-sections, by the way, that was a lot of fun. And I love you too. Okay, Emma started it off. All right. And I was pregnant with our last child, and Pastor Kirsten and I had decided that we were not going to find out early what we were having. Matter of fact, we only found out early with Easton and with Ikella, my two of my sons. But with Emma and Elian, we decided not to find out until the baby was born. Right? My husband's philosophy is there are very few good surprises in life, right? We talked about surprises. You might as well just wait, right? Nobody else likes to wait. They want to know because they want to buy stuff, especially the grandparents, okay? So we decided this is our final baby, and we're not going to find out. And people would ask me what I want, and I had learned by that time, I want a healthy baby. Amen? That's what I want. And the Lord knows what's best. The Lord gets to decide. Well, Emma, my oldest, had decided after three brothers, guess what she wanted? A sister. So as soon as we announced that I was pregnant, I'm telling you, that girl prayed every single night before bed. During the 21 days of fasting and prayer, she was 9 years old, that girl fasted for a sister. All right? Birthday wish, blow out the candles like it really matters, but still, she asked for a sister. And so after a while, I thought, oh, man, Lord, I need to teach her. And he said, okay, Emma, girl, you got faith. I love that. And I said, but, you know, sometimes God's plans are bigger than ours. I said, it's fine. You keep telling God what you'd like to have, but ultimately he decides what's best, and you got to be okay with it. Yeah, Mom, I'm fine. We're just going to keep asking. Okay. And I remember one day the Lord came to me and he said, Kimmy, what do you want? I said, Lord, you know what's best. You know what's best. I'm going to trust you. He goes, no, I'm asking, what would you like to have? If I'm being completely truthful, transparent with the Lord, Lord, I would love to have another girl. I just would. Okay. I bookends, right? And so I remember I go into labor. I'm in the, and go in for the C-section, and I'm laying there, and they deliver the baby. And I'm in the C-section, and I've got anesthesiologist. I've got medicine pumping through me. Okay. Sorry, Alaska ladies. I did not give birth at home. I did not give, you guys are amazing. Or at the birth center. Okay. I was at the hospital on Maui, all five of my babies. And I remember laying there and they delivered my baby and they said, it's a girl. And I felt the love of God, like the presence of God come over me. I felt the Lord kiss me on my forehead and say, just because I love you. And I started weeping in the presence of God. And the anesthesiologist was like, are you okay? Are you in pain? Do you need more medicine? I said, no, God is so good to me. He's so good to me. Just because he loves me, he gave me a girl. And those nurses, boy, they gasped. That girl was 9 pounds, 10 ounces. I gave birth to a two-month-old. And my youngest, her name is Eliana, which is Hebrew for God is answered. Her full name is Eliana Rose Noilani. And that means God has answered with rose mist from heaven. And she, we call her the cherry on top. Okay, she finished that brownie sundae off. I mean, we're done, okay? But I want you to remember, the reason I had you lift your hands is because tonight we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about how powerful it is. We're going to talk about what the Word of God declares over us, but also what we're to do with it. The love of Christ given to us is not for us to hoard or to keep to ourselves. It's for us to share. Amen? We're going to go through the scripture. So I hope you got your Bibles ready or you're taking notes. We're going to talk about the Word of God tells us to do. Number one is love God. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38. And these guys got my scriptures up there for me. Number one is to love God. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, I want you to say it with me if you know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The Word of God, first of all, says that we're to love God. Number two, the Word of God says that we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to turn really quickly or write this down. John chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 34 through 35. Number one, to love God. Number two, look around you. You've got brothers and sisters. You've got a family of God. God has made you his sons and daughters. And God has commanded us to love each other. John 13, verse 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, Jesus was not on a big hill teaching a big crowd. This was a private moment with his disciples. He was teaching that rough crowd of guys who always got in arguments and fights. He's telling them how they should live. And he said, this is how the world is going to know that you're mine, that you love one another. We're going to read a couple more scriptures. Write these down. I want the Word of God to be the spotlight tonight. John chapter 15, this is just a couple of chapters later, verse 9. And these are the words of Jesus. I want you to hear these. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is my command, love each other. How many times did he say that in those verses? How many of you know it's important? When Jesus repeats himself, you better pay attention. You better pay attention. And how many churches over the years I've been in ministry have split because of gossip and slander and backbiting over offense? And here Jesus, that's also to his disciples. He's in an intimate moment with them. If the church can't get their act together, how do we expect the world to want to join us? He's commanding his disciples, not giving them a suggestion. Love one another. I can't tell you how many people have left the church because they've gotten offended. They've gotten hurt. They've gotten mistreated by someone else. Listen, God knows that we're not perfect, but we should try to be with his help. And we should try to love one another with his help. We're going to look at one more verse under this, that God calls us to love our brothers and sisters. In 1 John 4, verse 7. Now here, John is writing to a group of Christian believers, but I want you to hear this. 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Do you see that? Do you see how we treat one another in this body of Christ reflects out into the world? How we treat one another here in forgiving each other and laying down our offenses, laying down the gossip, laying down the backbiting, all of that, it shows the world that we really know God. It says it right there. If you don't love, you don't know God. I've been so convicted because there are days I'll just be really honest. I love God's house. I love what I get to do. I love the boys and girls. I love being here. But there are days when I am peopled out. And there are days when I have to go, I love people. I love people. I love people. I really love people. How many of you are like that? I have to pray in the Holy Ghost, because you can't love people unless you've got the love of God in you. He helps you. When you run out, he fills you back up. We've had an amazing summer run. We've had many celebrations in my house, and I've talked about my five kids, and we have consecutive birthdays, March, April, May, June, skip July, praise the Lord, and August. And then Pastor Kirsten's in November. And this year, now you guys know that God set me and Pastor Kirsten up, okay? He told us, you can plan when you're going to have your kids. I'm not going by your plan. Thank you very much. So my children were born during the busiest times in children's ministry. Easter egg hunts, kids camp. Yeah, praise God, start of school. And it just so happens that my kids are two, three years apart. So this year, we had a 16th birthday in April. Ikella John, getting his license, Lord help me. All right. Then in May, Elian turned 18 and graduated. Okay, all you parents, do you see the dollar signs? Okay, then my son Easton turned 21. Okay, those are significant birthdays. And then I turned 50. Lord help me. And in the midst of all that, we had kids camp. And in the midst of all that, we went and did a ministry trip. And then we started our summer program, Passport, which we get to highlight next Sunday. I have been peopled out. I'm just letting you know. It's okay. All right? You got to have rest. All right? You got to step away. You got to have moments to breathe. Go for a walk. Go fishing. Stand there, okay? But God has commanded us to love one another. I want you to just take a moment while we're moving on to the next point. Look around the room. Look around the family that God has given you. So the Word of God tells us we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. Number two, we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Number three, you're to love your neighbor and your enemies. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, it's the second half of Jesus being asked what the greatest commandments were. The first one was, love the Lord your God. And he said the second one, the second is like it. Anybody know what it says? Love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that. You love yourself. I know you do. Jesus knows you love yourself too, right? How many of you guys can look? I brought a mirror up here. Look at this. Look. You look great. Jesus was telling us in this scripture, he took those last commandments of the Ten Commandments and squeezed them into one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay? All those commandments, you shall not lie, you shall not covet, you shall not steal, you shall not, what are the other ones? Commit adultery, shall not covet. It all has to do with your neighbor. And when he summed these scriptures into one, those commandments into one, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but when you look in the mirror, okay, how do you guys feel about yourself when you look in the mirror? Just be honest. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to raise your hand. Most of us, when we make a mistake, we understand why we made that mistake. Most of us, when we ate the whole bag of popcorn, we needed that whole bag of popcorn. We're really merciful to ourselves, okay? We're very understanding of ourselves because we know our motives. Our motives are usually good, okay? Right? And you like to go, you ladies, you like to go get those manicures and pedicures. You love yourself. You go get that coffee. Right, gentlemen, you guys got coffee orders? Uh-huh. You like things a certain way, don't you? You love yourself. And if you're healthy, emotionally and mentally, you're going to take care of yourself, aren't you? You're going to make sure your clothes are semi-clean, okay? Hopefully you've brushed your teeth. You're going to take care of yourself. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, you do unto others as you would do unto yourself. We love ourselves. We give ourselves great mercy, understanding, and grace. We do, because we understand us, right? We're to show our neighbors that same level of love. I want to read a scripture to you, and then we're going to keep moving. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. I want you just to listen to me. We're going to read this together. It says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them." Verse 33, "And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This was part of his sermon when he was on teaching the Beatitudes. He was teaching them to act opposite than what they had been taught. To love your neighbor as you love yourself, to love your enemies. We're going to go back to that first scripture that we read about when wickedness is going to increase, the love of many will grow cold. Right now in our nation, there's so much division. It's almost like you can draw a line between those on the left and those on the right. And unfortunately, what's happened is the love of many has grown cold. People have stopped loving their enemies. We want to stand for righteousness, yes. For truth, yes. And for justice, yes. And for what God's word says, but we have forgotten to love our enemies. To pray for those who persecute us. To where if we get slapped on one cheek, we turn the other. Jesus flipped everything upside down when he was preaching this. Even him, the Son of God, he could have called angels down from heaven, but did he? When they arrested him, when they tore out his beard, when they whipped him, he didn't. Do you know what held him there? His love for you. His love for the world. His love for me. When they whipped him 39 times to where he wasn't even recognizable, did he retaliate? No, he didn't. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. It was his love. They were mocking him, the same people who he had just healed and delivered were screaming, "Crucify him." The same one that he had poured his life out, everyone who came to him, every single person was healed. He poured himself out like a drink offering, and it was his love for us that kept him on the cross. He turned the other cheek. He prayed for those who were persecuting him. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And how easy is it for us now that when someone treats us badly, we reject them, we walk away from them, we stay away from them. But here Jesus is telling us what to do. We're to love our enemies. He talked about that even sinners love those who love them. Even sinners lend to those who are going to pay them back. How are we going to be different? How are we going to stand out in this world? It's doing what the Word of God tells us to do. To love your neighbor. To love your enemies. Let's talk about what love is. I want you to turn into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is this love that we're talking about? The word love is thrown around so much in our world today. People's idea of love is twisted. The word love in its importance and honor and meaning has been diminished. What does the Bible say that love is? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says this. Verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Read it with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Keep going. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, stay with me, verse 10, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked, I thought, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Verse 13. And now these three remain. Read it with me. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why did I read all of that? Did you hear the beginning? How many of you speak in tongues? I do. How many of you prophesy? I do. How many of you are gaining in knowledge and wisdom and you're growing your faith? I am. If I don't have love, it means nothing. If I cannot love my neighbor, if I cannot love my enemies, all of that means nothing. When this book was written, the Corinthian church was so proud. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied and they had all this knowledge, but they were being written a letter because they had no love. At the end, when it's talking about how we right now we know in part, it's talking about when we get to heaven. I want you to hear me. When we see Jesus face to face, love will be perfected. There will be no need for prophecy in heaven. We will know fully. There will be no need for tongues or knowledge because we will be fully known and He will be fully known. Everything that has been veiled before us, right now we just see as in a mirror. But there will come a day when those things mean nothing. Listen to this. Faith, hope, and love. There will be no room in heaven for faith or hope. Do you know why? Because we will see with our own eyes and we will enjoy him in his presence and see him face to face. The only thing that will be left is his love. Is his love. And you will be fully known and you will fully know him. It's his love that remains. It's the greatest of these. The greatest above every spiritual gift we could want is the love of God and to be able to share his love with others. How do we respond now? What do we respond? Pastor Kimmy, I have had bitterness in my heart towards a family member. I just can't love them. Forgive. Ask the Lord to help you. Everything else means nothing if his love is not present. If you cannot love, you don't know him. If you cannot forgive somebody in church and you hold things against them and you gossip about them, you have lost your love. And you've lost your testimony to the world because what are they going to think about you? You call yourself a Christian and you're talking like that? The word of God's very clear. If you have an issue with your brother, leave your gift at the altar. Go work it out. It says the world will know us by how we love one another. How's your love level? Where's your love meter at? Listen, I get peopled out, but I gotta sit at the feet of Jesus. You know why? Because he never runs out. I do. I run out, but he never does. He never does. Quick story I want to tell you. There was one day, I'm going to be very transparent, Pastor. My husband and I had a really bad argument. Wait, discussion. I don't know if any of you married couples have had discussions before. And I'm Italian. I can get a little hot-headed. And I was feeling unloved and hurt, and I was angry. So I got in the car and went to Walmart. And all the way to Walmart, I was letting God have it. Okay, please be real with God. He can handle you, okay? And all your stuff. He would rather you be real with him and raw with him and let him come help you, then you try to stuff it and act like you got it all together. He knows you don't. So I'm my 6-minute drive to Walmart, and I'm letting God have it. And I don't even know what I bought. I walked through Walmart. Okay, I don't cuss. I'm sanctified. I do not cuss. Okay? God has taken my tongue, and I won't. But I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm feeling unloved. I don't even know what I bought at Walmart, but I went through I don't even know who I saw at Walmart. If you saw me, I'm so sorry. Okay, by the way, this was years ago, all right? Long time ago. And I got in the car, and I'm in the car, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes into my car. Because my whole thing was I was feeling unloved. And he says, Kimmy, have you received my love for you today? And to be honest, I hadn't. I had not spent time with my Savior. I had not sat at his feet. And I'm driving. Oh, God. I'd gotten all the junk out, all the hurt out. Oh, God. And I'm driving with my eyes open. And I said, God, I need your love. I choose to receive it. I choose to receive it, and like a flood of his presence came into my car. And every bit of bitterness and hurt and anger just washed away. And he taught me, Kimmy, you can't make it without my love. And this is the deal. He doesn't run out. There is no lack in him. And you need his love to love others. To truly love others. To be able to turn the other cheek. To be able to pray for those coworkers who you can't stand. The ones who backbite you and make you look bad. How do we respond? Quickly. The verse we read at the very beginning, Matthew 24:12. Do not allow the wickedness of these last days to cause your love to grow cold. Saints, it says right here, because of the increase, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Don't let your love grow cold. How do you do that? You stay close to Jesus. If he tells you to forgive, it's not a feeling, it's a choice. Do it and keep forgiving. Don't let your love grow cold. Secondly, love God and be loved by him. Spend whatever time you need. If it's in a 5-minute Walmart car drive, do it. But love him with everything you've got and let him love you in return. He's crazy about you. He can handle you. Be real with him. Get it all out and then let him come and heal you. Let him come and fill you up. Let him come. Pastor preached out of Psalm 23. He is the good shepherd. He restores your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness by the still waters. He's going to come and he's going to minister to you. He might come and correct you too. That rod and that staff, he disciplines those that he loves. Receive his discipline. And lastly, reflect his love. So I have this mirror up here. Reflect his love to your church. Look around your brothers and sisters. God's commanded, he commanded his disciples. Love one another. That's how the world is going to know we belong to him, is how we treat each other. Love your neighbors and love your enemies. You can't do any of that in your own strength. None of it. You have to have him. You have to have him. I want to pray for you tonight, Pastor. Is that okay? First, I want to pray if you have never received the love of Christ, if you've never surrendered your whole life to him tonight, we're going to take care of that first. I would like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. That's all you have to do. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth that you confess and are sanctified. It is with your heart that you believe. So tonight, if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me right where you are. Jesus is here. And his love for you is beyond your comprehension. He's not here to beat you up for all the things you've done wrong. He's here to heal you and set you free from the bondage of sin. I want you to pray this with me out loud. Say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I surrender my whole life to you right now. Wash my heart clean. Give me a new start. Wash me with your love. Walk with me and talk with me every day of my life. You are my Lord. I believe in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. According to the word of God, if you prayed that prayer, you meant it. You are saved. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now you get to live the rest of your life being loved by an almighty God, perfect love, and letting him use you to love others.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.